Mark chapter 4. Verses 30 through 32 contains our text, the parable of the mustard seed. We'll begin reading at verse 21. We'll read through verse 34. Let's give our careful attention now to God's inspired and inerrant word. Matthew 4 and verse 21. And he was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a peck measure, is it? Or under a bed? It is not brought to be put, is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it should come to light. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." And he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the ground, and goes to bed at night, and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The earth produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the ground, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and forms large branches, so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade." And with many such parables, he was speaking the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he was not speaking to them without parables, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Be seated, please. And let's join again in prayer to ask God's blessing on the preaching of the word. Oh Lord, we pray now that you would be pleased to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us in this parable. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, this is our sincere prayer, O Lord, and we come depending on you, acknowledging our dependence upon the Holy Spirit for our understanding of your word. Be gracious to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have you ever noticed the progression of a fireworks display? I know that we all love a fireworks display, but have you ever noticed how a fireworks display progresses? Begins with a few individual small bursts of colorful light. It gradually builds, and then it culminates in a grand display of many multicolored explosions against the dark evening sky. It has a small beginning and then a grand finale. Everyone knows, everyone who's ever witnessed a fireworks display knows that there's going to be that grand finale at the end. And everyone waits in anticipation for it. But they nevertheless enjoy the various bursts of colorful explosions that lead up to the grand finale. And those earlier bursts serve to heighten the anticipation of the grand finale. And so it is in the kingdom of God. The parable of the mustard seed teaches us this principle. It had small beginnings, but it's moving forward to the grand finale. It's a present reality in which believers participate now, but at the same time, it's a future expectation. And there's this future expectation of a glorious and climactic ending in God's kingdom. The parable of the mustard seed is one of those parables that partake of, says J.C. Ryle, the character of both history and prophecy. It's a present reality. It's also a future reality. It's intended to illustrate the history of Christ's visible church on earth from the time of the Advent until the time of the second coming of Christ and the final judgment of the world. Now, Mark's gospel is a condensed gospel. It's the shortest gospel of all the synoptic gospels, that is, those gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that detail the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And Mark presents fewer of the parables than the other gospel writers. The ones he does include focus on the kingdom. They're kingdom parables, and specifically growth in the kingdom. Parable of the sower. Seed sown on good ground promotes the growth of the kingdom by bearing much fruit. Parable of the lamp. If the kingdom is to advance, you must advance its message by allowing your light to burn brightly. Your lamp, it's not to be hidden, it's to be put on the lampstand. Parable of the seed. While the parable of the lampstand focuses on our participation, the parable of the seed focuses on God's sovereignty in planting the seed and causing the seed to grow. God is sovereign over the growth of the kingdom. And then the parable of the mustard seed, a parable we're considering together tonight. It teaches us that while the kingdom of God had small beginnings, it's a present reality and will have a glorious consummation. While the kingdom of God had small beginnings, it's a present reality and will have a glorious consummation. It calls all those who have ears to hear. It calls all those whom the Spirit, by His work of regeneration, has given ears to hear, to consider whether they are experiencing the blessings of the present kingdom, whether they are participating in the growth of the kingdom, and whether they are by faith looking to the glorious future of the kingdom. I want you to notice three things tonight. The kingdom of God was small and weak in its beginnings. That's the first thing. Secondly, the kingdom of God is a very present reality. And third, the kingdom of God has a certain and more glorious future. First, the kingdom of God had small and weak beginnings. Jesus likened it to a mustard seed. The mustard seed, smallest of all the seeds that are upon the ground, he says, the smallest of the garden seeds. The mustard seed was proverbial among the Jews for something very small and insignificant. Twice in the Gospels, Jesus used the figure of a mustard seed as a comparison when speaking of faith. Now that says something, doesn't it? It says something about our faith. It says something about those to whom Jesus was speaking, his disciples. It says something about our faith too. when the disciples weren't able to cast out a demon, they asked Jesus why, Matthew 17. And he said to them, it's because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And then in Luke's version of the same account, Jesus responded, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The mustard seed, then, is an emblem of something that appears small and negligible. In the parable before us, Jesus uses it as a comparison of the arrival of His kingdom. The kingdom of God did not come in with a bang. One solitary voice appeared in the wilderness announcing the coming of the Lord. John the Baptist stood at the end of a long line of Old Testament prophets, and he was well aware of the fact that he was the one chosen to go before the king and to announce his coming. He called men to repent, to be ready, for the king himself was about to arrive. And then the king himself came preaching. And Mark's compressed format does such a wondrous job at helping us to see how things happen in the beginning, the small and the weak beginnings of the kingdom. Jesus came preaching the gospel of God, but how did he come initially? He came as a feeble infant, born in a manger in Bethlehem, without attendants, without riches, without power. He didn't arrive ostentatiously with a massive army. Little by little, the king began to assemble his troops, one by one, two by two. He called the apostles. And by the time of the speaking of this parable, he had only a small band of followers. I was talking to one of our members this morning who recounted a conversation that he was having with a man earlier last week. During the course of the conversation, he invited the man to visit the church. And he said what you and I have probably said to others 100 times or more. It's a small church. We're just a very small church. But we're faithful. We're faithful to God's Word. And we're taught here by the beginnings of God's kingdom. The small, the weak, the insignificant way that the visible church began. Not to look down on the visible church because she's small and weak. Remember the manger in Bethlehem and the fledgling band of disciples that followed Jesus when he gave this parable, and learn wisdom. This is an established principle of religion. Never to despise the day of small things. Zechariah 4 and verse 10. This parable teaches us that God's kingdom was small and weak in its beginnings. And secondly, teaches us that the kingdom of God is a very present reality. We noticed in the Gospels the preaching of John the Baptist and then the preaching of Jesus, and there's a marked difference between the way that John preached and the way that Jesus preached. Whereas John's preaching pointed to its coming, Jesus pointed to its arrival. The messianic king had arrived, Jesus preached, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God, repent and believe in the gospel. The king had come and he had ushered in the messianic kingdom. Thus, while minute in its beginning, the New Testament clearly teaches that the kingdom of God wasn't merely a distant expectation. It wasn't as though they were waiting for its arrival so that they could experience its blessings. During the Messianic king's sojourn on earth, it was represented by this small group of followers. The visible church was small, but it was growing. The tiny mustard seed had been firmly planted. It was in place and it began to grow. And there are many evidences that the kingdom of God had arrived, that it was present. It was evidenced by the fall of Satan, for example. Jesus, in Mark's gospel here, one of the very first things that we encounter is that temptation in the wilderness. The Spirit drives him into the wilderness. And Jesus is victorious over Satan in the wilderness. And then later in the gospel, the king's troops triumphed over Satan as well. When the 70 returned, they reported to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And what did he say? He said, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. The presence of the kingdom is evidenced by demon expulsion. Mark's gospel is full of these accounts. In one particular account,